I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everyone. Hi, hi. Welcome to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. We are thrilled to be here for another week in quarantine, but always watching Real Housewives on Bravo. Of course, I'm here with my colleagues. With us, we have Ethan Paisley. Say what's up. And also with us, we have Laura Thomas-Son joining us.
Hey, y'all. Happy to be here.
Yes. And Jane Johnson, of course.
What's up, you guys?
Yes, we're super thrilled, as always, to be chatting with you about one of our favorite shows, reality TV shows, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Last night's episode really was a showstopper for me. Denise, hands down, I am effing Denise Richards. Live for that moment. I'm here for Denise this season. I am so curious to know all of your thoughts. Of course, we're going to get into it, but before we do, we do have our live chat up with which Jane is currently handling, and she'll be chiming in. Let us know your thoughts, your opinions on last night's episode, because we love, like always, to keep the conversation going. And so she'll be shouting you all out. Whatever comments you have, we're live right now. Join the live chat on our YouTube, on the YouTube page. Ethan has a special segment coming up later on, which is one of my faves. How many do I give? Yes. So that's coming up later on the show. And we also have news coming up. I'm sure some juicy stuff. And yeah, so we're here. We're ready. Let's jump into it. Jam packed. It was a little bit hard to kind of mush in the entire episode. So let's try our best and do what we can. So let's start off talking about Kyle's, I guess, Denise's dinner party. It's like a continuation, right, of last week's episode. And we see Kyle, you know, storm out, as we had seen in the preview. And she made a statement. She made quite a few statements. But first off, she said, you know, everyone is effing fake-ass bitches. All of you are fake-ass bitches. So my question to you all is, where do you think this is coming from? Because the season just started. So for her to be saying something like that, it's like there has to be a motive for it. What do you think, Ethan?
Does she maybe think that because she has something going on, like the movie and then the clothing line, that she's above the rest of these women? I mean, I know that really doesn't make sense, but I can kind of understand that mindset if that's what's making her say this. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know why she was throwing shade, and especially towards Garcelle. That was so weird when she looked at Garcelle and was like, you're just not honest. I was like, where did that come from? What? So I can only relate it back to the mindset that she's like, I have so much going on. Like, they're below me. What do you guys think, though?
Laura, what do you think?
I mean, here's the thing. I know that there was some sort of a moment, I guess, where Dorit was saying that she was kind of throwing back. It all came down to the glam, right? Like, oh, you came in glam to go in your fake workout clothes to go to this retreat. And then Dorit kind of made a good point a little bit later. She was like, last year, or season one for Teddy, she was like, no makeup, no glam at all. Yes. And then all of a sudden, like, she's showing up for glam everywhere. So, you know, it was again that like double standard. I rarely agree with Dorit, but I happen to be like, good point on that one, because I'm really not Team Kyle right now. So I think it had to do, I think that was part of what she was saying, was just that the glam aspect of everybody was kind of bothering her. And I think all she was saying is like, own up to the fact that you're gonna like, that we all spend hours getting ready, you know, going anywhere that we go. Maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Totally right. I mean, this fight is so silly to me, but I do understand the whole saying that they're fake ass bitches over the glam, because yeah, Kyle chooses what she is okay with. And there is a double standard where, like, I think that her coming at Denise about the glam stuff too, it's like, well, Teddy had a glow up from season one to two, and they didn't seem to care about that. So yeah, sometimes it feels like they're grasping at straws for the drama, and it doesn't necessarily make sense all the time, but
yeah. Exactly. Like even when Lisa Rinna brought up Kim Richards, to me, that was such a low blow, but it almost seemed like there was nothing backing that up. Like she was just doing it to do it, as if she was almost bored, just to spice up the drama. Like, I even think Lisa Rinna said in a preview or something, like, I'm going to be the shit stirrer this season. And I'm like, is that because there's not enough shit being stirred? You know what I mean? Like, are these women creating this drama on purpose? And Laura, I think last week you said your biggest takeaway was that the season felt forced. And that's totally what I felt watching this episode.
I completely agree with that, because I was watching last night's episode with my sister, and we've been watching as well the Real Housewives of New York, and their friendship is a lot more genuine. And this, you know, every you know, cast member, they just flow easily. You can actually see their friendship. And with this cast, it seems very forced. Like, it's just their interactions, things that they come up with. It's like, where do you get this drama from? Where do you get the thought of bringing up someone's glam when you know that it's not? It's just, I don't know. It's inconsistent too.
Well, but, what, you know, a small thing to blow up over. Like the fact that we sit in hair and makeup for, you know, hello, you're in Hollywood. Everyone sits in hair and makeup for an extended amount of time. I got that sense when I was at the dinner a little bit later after the launch party, when Dorit, and I know we'll get into this a little bit later, but when Dorit would not let it go with Sutton. And I kept just thinking, I was like, is she a producer of this show? Like, does she have producers in her ear going like, keep it going, Dorit, keep it going. I would not be surprised, because literally she of all of them just doesn't let it go. And I was like, something seems fishy to me.
Be the case. I was also going to say, though, do you guys feel like there's this disbalance between all their friendships since LVP left? Like, I almost felt like she brought more kinship to the circle, like as a cast member. So.
Right. Another thing too, is actually you brought it. Oh, just left me right now, but you actually brought up a good point with the LVP situation, because they keep bringing up montages as well of LVP. And there was a rumor that started when the season started filming that apparently producers were saying that there wasn't enough drama this season. So when they were taping the season, they were saying that, you know, the ladies would have to come out in interviews or, you know, in their blogs or on their social media saying that there was, you know, there was going to be drama, there was going to be content. So a lot of people were saying, well, why do you have to say all of these things when you're barely filming the season? And it was because of the fact that LVP wasn't going to be part of it. So maybe that's why they feel like it's being forced. But Teddy also, you know, everybody kind of, Teddy said some things last night as well during that, the dinner. And she's like, it feels like it's all against one. And she felt the necessity to stand up for Kyle, which didn't help the situation at all. How do we feel about Teddy inserting herself again into this drama? Because it's like, she's, the reaction on her face, it irritates me. I don't know if it's just me, but her standing up for Kyle doesn't make any sense. What do you think, Jane?
I think it makes perfect sense regarding their relationship, because they're a package deal and that's how they handle all their drama. But I just felt like this feud, to me, period, doesn't make sense. So Teddy adding another layer onto the drama, it's like, of course Dorit is going to show up in full glam. Duh. And why does Kyle care? All these women, for the most part, show up in full glam. And like, especially Dorit, I don't think it's a thing that should be causing such major drama that's made Kyle flee like multiple dinners in tears. And I think she's just trying to assert herself in the center of drama by picking fights for no good reason. So Teddy jumping in, no, I don't think it makes sense, but I think it also makes sense for Teddy's character and her relationship with Kyle, because they're a package deal.
Do you guys watch have you guys watched on Netflix, Too Hot to Handle? that like
started watching it. Yes.
Okay. So there's a similar dynamic on that show. There's this like, there's this one girl, Francesca, and she's like, you know, she comes in and she asserts herself as sort of the queen bee, like from the very right. beginning. And then there's this other girl, Haley, and Haley like doesn't get along with the group at all. Really. She's kind of like an outcast. So she like literally leeches on to Francesca. And like all of a sudden Francesca now is like doing her song and dance, and she has a little puppet to like stand next to her and kind of get her to do whatever she wants, whether it's, you know, cause controversy or agree with her whenever she wants or stir the pot, whatever. And I'm watching this and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Kyle and Teddy. Yeah. It's Kyle and Teddy like way back when, because I truly feel like just what Jane said, they're sort of this just like puppet master with each other. And to me,
yeah,
Teddy looks completely uncomfortable all the time. I know she's pregnant and everybody like makes a point to like, every time she walks in a room, it's like, oh, the pregnant lady's here. Like she knows she's pregnant. She also like looks very uncomfortable in all of these situations. She like has not relaxed this entire season. So I don't know. I hope she's having like a glass of wine now because she needed one.
She needs it so badly. It makes me uncomfortable watching her. It just, I get so like tense as well.
There's one moment where she's at a dinner and I literally like feel like she's about to crawl into her toilet. She like starts doing this. I'm like, Teddy, you don't have to hide physically. You're okay.
Maite, I have to ask you, who do you like less, Sutton or Teddy?
Oh, Teddy, actually. I do. Yes. I mean, I'm sorry, but I have never been a fan of Teddy.
It's, I know,
just one thing after another. And I just, even last season, I'm like, I'm not going to watch next season. There's no way. If Teddy comes back, Teddy comes back. And now look at me. I'm doing an after show for, but it's like, it gets me excited because I, you know, I'm so curious. How is it going to turn out with that LVP? But It's gotta be her.
Yeah. Yeah. Sutton, yeah. I'm really glad she spoke up and I like what she said to
We're gonna get into that because I have a change of heart as well when it comes to her now. So let's get into the conversation of Garcelle and her husband, Mike, right? They're celebrating their kid's birthday party. I live for Garcelle. I'm like, where is Garcelle in all of these arguments? She needs to insert herself and make peace and do things right because she is the perfect person. I think last week I said, who is the one person who can put Kyle in her position or, you know, get Kyle back on track with herself? And I had a tweet, someone tweeted to all of us saying, you know, the only person who I think can really put Kyle in her spot is Garcelle. So shout out to that person who tweeted me that. I'm so sorry. I will get your name later on and give you a shout out. But, you know, it's so interesting. Garcelle is very much like a homebody and she's like, you know, me and my ex-husband have 50-50 custody. What do we think about this relationship between them and how, you know, so far what we've seen of her on the show? What do you think, Laura?
I mean, I'm living for Garcelle. I loved that the chill birthday party that she threw. I love the Tower of Donuts. I love that her ex handed her a drink, you know, while she's, you know, doing, I mean, I'm just, the more that I learn about Garcelle, the more a fan I am. The thing about most of this cast that I'm realizing is that in kind of what we compared to the beginning with the New York group, the New York group does not pretend to not care. And I feel like, you know what I mean? Like they're like, they care and they care all the way. And this group, I feel like, has too many people who pretend to not care, but really do. Now, Garcelle, I will say, is sort of the antidote to that. I think she, like, wants nothing to do with the drama. She wants nothing to do with, like, she knows she's fabulous and she doesn't have to put it on. It's a little bit of, like, Erica Jane to me. She can kind of let herself stand on her own laurels and she doesn't have to put on airs. And that's why I'm, like, falling in love with Garcelle more and more.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Right. What do you think, Ethan?
I thought, yeah, Laura, you took the words right out of my mouth. I'm falling in love with Garcelle every episode. And props to her for the way she's handling, you know, her divorce. And I think you have to keep your kids out of it to help them be onto a better path. So I thought it was great that he was there and they seemed to have a good rapport. So yeah, love her and totally agree. She's secure with herself. That's what's different amongst this group of women, is she's confident.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was a little unexpected to see her relationship with her ex-husband, knowing what she did, right? Of what he put her through for 5 years, and then sending out that blast email to all of his coworkers. That's pretty intense. And now seeing where they're at, I mean, Jane, do you agree? Do you think she's doing the right thing of not talking smack about him to her kids?
Yeah, I mean, the email was set in stone. Like, that thing should be framed in the Louvre. So beyond that, like, she doesn't need to keep going with the put downs. I think, like, I think that email was hilarious and epic. And like, for us to see that episode one, it was incredible. But now, you know, conscious uncoupling and co-parenting is the vibe, especially in Cali. So she's doing a great job of it. And I loved how the birthday was a little more low key. It seems like she's trying to, you know, be a little more down to earth with how she's parenting. But my overall thing with Garcelle so far is I feel like she, obviously fans are so receptive to her. Like, we all love her on this show and we're excited to see her, but I feel like she's kind of dipping out of a lot of the group events. Mm-hmm. And I don't want her to get off so easy because we need her there. And I feel like half the time she's missing, like, it was a hilarious excuse to not be at Teddy's thing, but we keep getting kind of these like family moments from Garcelle, but she's missing like half of these drama filled girls outings that I would like to see her at more.
Right. And
I don't disagree with you on that, Jane, because I definitely missed her at the DNA launch party. Mm-hmm. I want to give a shout out on Twitter to Lois Elfman at Lois
her.
Elfman.
Yes. Thank you, Laura.
She was the one that tweeted us. She said, the person to put Kyle in her place is the divine at Garcelle B. This is truly a fabulous leader, Hollywood veteran, and star. So, Lois.
Yes.
100%. Us, Lois.
Living for that. Thank you, Laura, for bringing that her Twitter up. With this, let's jump into the night where all the drama happened, which is Erica. Let's start off with Erica's playhouse. Now, they gave Erica's playhouse. I mean, I want to have a playhouse myself. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But then they said, like, oh, this playhouse is in Hollywood. Girl, it is not in Hollywood. I go to the bar downstairs. That is in downtown LA. I know exactly where she's at. And it's crazy because I go there. That's like my go-to spot with my friends. And I can't believe out of all the times I'm there, I haven't run into Erica. I think it's for a reason, because I would probably jump on her and just fangirl all the way. I love Erica. So, you know, once the ladies start arriving, Rinna doesn't say hi to Kyle. There is that interaction between both of them. Rinna, you know, takes her mom with her as well. And, you know, I'm living for the style also that's taking place. Sutton's heels, out of the norm. That was great. And Dorit's long braid, that was another thing. And so the ladies are in conversation, and all of a sudden it's Kyle and Rinna have a chat. And this was a moment that for me, I was like, I wonder what Rinna's going to say. And on the contrary of what I thought she was going to say, Rinna apologizes. How do we feel about this apology that she gave to, you know, to Kyle, knowing that everything they had gone through? What do you think, Jane?
I mean, Rinna isn't always apologizing. So I thought that it was a good move on her part. And I do feel like, in general, Rinna is kind of like obviously being the clear pot stirrer. But I do think it's interesting when she does that with someone like Sutton, for example, because like she brought her into this mess, and like with Denise, she brought Denise in. So I think it's kind of interesting when, like, we know that Rinna is the tie that's bringing people into the whole scenario, but then she's the one, like, either attacking or not apologizing. And, like, it's just, I feel like I picked up on that a lot this episode specifically. And I was like, damn, girl, you brought them right into the fire. You took them into the arena. And now you're just like, yeah, cheering on this bullfight. I'm like, that is savage. And it plays into her character of kind of being the pot stirrer. So yes, it was good to see an apology, to answer that question.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I almost feel like though her argument with Kyle at Denise's dinner party didn't really seem like there was a lot of ammunition behind it. Like she wasn't that upset towards Kyle, you know? So I felt like the apology was kind of a given. Like she was okay. Like, oh, sorry, I was drunk, or sorry, I was just stirring the pot again. Like it didn't really seem heartfelt or like anything had happened between them, honestly. It just seemed like more BS.
Yeah.
Right.
I felt like the moment, to me, the moment felt genuine. And I was like, oh, look at Rena showing Kyle how to do an apology. Like, take notes, Kyle. Because Kyle, we all know, is not really great at that, at how to say I'm sorry. So, and I really thought that, I mean, because it was kind of a low blow to kind of throw, and like you said earlier, Ethan, like kind of reaching for the whole Kim reference. I think she realized that maybe she kind of hit below the belt. So I like that what I like about Rena is that she owns her crazy. She owns her crazy 100%, and she also owns when she makes a mistake. And she doesn't blow it out of proportion. She doesn't cry. She doesn't get to tears. It doesn't get overly dramatic. She's just like, hey, you know what? That wasn't cool. I'm sorry I did that. Let's move on. You know, and I kind of appreciate that about her.
Right. Those are the certain moments that I do appreciate of her. And you know, she does have a variety of her moments and the times that she wants to shine. But that was I also agree with you. It was a very genuine moment that I did see. Another moment that was really unexpected was the one between Dorit and the rest of the girls when she said that she was going into, she was starting, right, her own, she was going to bring up the Buca de Pepo. And that is kind of a little out of the, where did this come from? I'm so confused. I'm like, since when are you, I mean, I get it. You had your fashion line, you're heavy into fashion. Then you're managing, you know, your husband's managing artists and now a restaurant. It smells to me like she, like LVP. What does it smell like to you? Tell me, Laura.
Well, right now it smells to me like a lot of wasted cash since nobody's going out to eat. But, you know, hey, good for you, girl. I hope it works out.
What do you think, Ethan?
Wait, okay, guys. Sorry, last night's episode was pretty fast-paced, so if I'm missing something, please fill me in. But was she just hired to design, like, a single room in one Buca di Beppo, or somebody explain exactly what she was set up to design, because I still have no idea.
So she invested in one, so her friend owns sort of the chain of restaurants, all of the,
right.
the name he owns, and she invested in one, and what she wanted, like, I guess she got permission from this friend to then do with it whatever she wants, meaning it doesn't have to look like every other Buca di Beppo out there. She could, you know, throw a purple velvet high back, wean back chair in the corner if she wants.
Stupid though.
I know.
This is going to end up being like the Starbucks reserve of Buca di Beppo. Like,
oh my God.
She's going to do this up so much and like run this Buca di Beppo into mega debt, making it look like the most fabulous family style restaurant you've ever seen.
I mean,
I don't understand it, but it could turn out to be like a total vibe. Who knows? But it was funny. I did see on Twitter, like the actual Buca di Beppo. Is it in Encino also? It's like on the side of the road and they're like, this is Dorit's Buca di Beppo. And it just looks so random. It's so random.
I mean, have we been to a Buca di Beppo? I have.
Yeah, oh, when I was like 12.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so we get that this is not a swanky joint, correct?
Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure it's not just me, because I'm just like, how do you make Buca di Beppo fancy?
I know.
You can't.
Ugh.
No, not at all.
It's like, it's heavy already.
In the live chat.
Okay, so we literally just got the live chat back up, and I think people are still getting caught up. So guys, the live chat is back up and running. It was down, but let us know what you think about the Buca di Beppo, because we're literally just getting it.
I see one on the chat. It's Charotera Chose, And she called Doritos. She says, needs to stay in her franchise lane. She will never be LVP.
That's so funny. Yeah, yes. this is like the outlet version of Sir.
Right. I think this is her trying to be LVP, though. I just saw this as some random Dorit venture.
I don't know, because they gave a preview to next week's episode, and, you know, they're there in conversation, all three of them, and they bring up LVP again. I kid you not, every single episode, there's either a montage of LVP or her name being brought up. It's like, what are you trying to do here?
She's the ghost of Housewives past. She doesn't leave.
She doesn't leave. Yeah.
I mean, I love LVP. Editing it that way, where it's like, right. Her yes. voiceover.
So one person that really, really stood out and just, I mean, for me, had like a 360 turnaround was Sutton, right? The ladies are leaving the Playhouse to go to a launch party, Rinna's daughter's launch party. Amelia and Delilah started their own fashion line called DNA. I'm going to save my thoughts about that and just talk about Sutton and her getting out of the, I guess it was like a party bus they were getting out of. And all of a sudden, she just flips out and says some things that apparently really, really scared Dorit, right? She's like, I don't know what you were going to do. You said you were freaking out. Can we dive in and talk about, first let's talk about Sutton. And do we think that she handled the situation correctly because she was freaking out? Do we think she had a reason to flip out as much as she was entering the launch party? What do you think, Laura?
Well, I don't think, I think the only mistake that Sutton made in this whole thing was who she freaked out to. Meaning she said, she told this to Dorit, who, you know, producer in the air, blow this up, blah, 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 blah. Like right. All of a sudden, because literally, it could not have been more like, oh my gosh. Like we've all gotten out and been like, oh, that guy's here again. Like, you know what I mean? Like we've all had those moments where we're just like, man, shoot me now. Like I'm not in the mood to deal with this tonight. And we say it to our girlfriend in passing and then we move on. Like Dorit, the only problem that I see here is Sutton said it to Dorit, who blew it out of proportion, in my opinion.
I agree, but I do think that Sutton blew it way out of proportion in response to Dorit when she was questioned about it at the dinner. Like, that was really extreme, which I think speaks to Jane. I remember last week you mentioned that Sutton may have some social anxiety that causes her to maybe be more aggressive up front, and that side of her totally showed this episode, with her just fighting back, you know, immediately. Which I thought was fine for a little, but when she started crying and hyper, I was like, whoa, like we did not get the full story on this guy she was in business with.
Yeah. So, okay. So Joey Maloof was the guy from Rachel Zoe's show that I believe was on Bravo back in the day when she was styling. He's the makeup dude. Oh, yes. And he started this app called Glam, the Glam app, that apparently Sutton invested with. So I am gonna try to do a little bit more searching on that. Let us know in the live chat if you guys know what the drams was. But yeah, so I don't know why I'm like randomly sometimes siding with Sutton. Maybe because I like feel for if this is social anxiety, but I do feel like Dorit was right to think that she could actually freak out because we don't know Sutton well enough yet. They don't have the history necessarily together. And she could, if she was saying, I'm going to freak out and freezing up, like we've seen her break down or cry when similar stuff happens, like you don't know what's going to go down. So I feel for Sutton. And also I understand where Dorit's coming from because she could have gone ballistic. We don't know.
Right.
And there was no background context provided until the Joey Maloof thing came out like later.
Right. And then during that dinner party, Dorit, for me, I think she really did blow it out of proportion because she just wouldn't stop talking about it. And I think in a way, you know, Sutton was kind of telling her in her own way, like, please stop, like, just just leave it alone. Don't keep talking about it. And you can tell by, Dorit's eyes were like popping out of the screen as she was looking at her saying like, oh, but I was just so like, I didn't know what you were going to do. Like it's, I don't ever think Sutton will blow it out where she'll throw a drink. And the worst thing about this dinner, I think, which, I mean, we're already talking about it, was the fact that Rinna also said, she's like, I would have kicked you out if you would have messed or done anything out of line at my daughter's event. Do we think, I mean, at this point, Rinna was the one that brought Sutton in. Is this being a good friend to her, or was she doing wrong and standing her ground as hard as she did? Like, what do you think, Ethan?
I think she did the right thing. Like, it was coming from the right place. I didn't think the delivery was all that friendly, or, you know, but she could have just said, wait, let's talk. What was really happening? She didn't just have to cut to the chase and say, don't mess with my family. Like, she could have been like, well, what were you freaking out about? Because then when she explained it, Lisa was like, oh, well, he's a friend. We're in business. You guys aren't. Like, we'll go our own ways, you know? So I thought it just could have been better delivery.
Yeah, so the chat is obviously going off on this. Fat Phil with a P-H-A-T-T says, Dorit was reaching and pandering for camera time. And Blitz and Bloom said, I was just going to say reaching. So they don't necessarily agree with me. But yeah, Lori King said, Dorit and Lisa blew this all out of proportion. You know, making huge deals out of nothing is how she feels. And yeah, Fat Phil says right. He has more respect for Sutton after she shut down Dorit.
I definitely agree with that. I do. I felt sorry as well for Sutton in a certain way because, you know, of the whole dilemma. And I can tell that she was hyperventilating and didn't really want to continue the conversation. So let's jump into, because we're running out of time, let's get into the Kyle and Denise. I literally put part one, Dorit versus Sutton. And then I put part two, Kyle versus Denise. Denise also took things way out of proportion, telling her to stop talking, basically to shut up. Why do you think Denise keeps bringing up this situation about her dinner party? I thought she was over it. Am I the only one? Like,
go ahead, Ethan. I want to hear your thoughts.
I was just going to say, I mean, I think Denise has a right to still be mad at Kyle. They didn't have any, you know, interaction prior to this dinner after that party that we got to see. And remember Denise, when she was having lunch with Erica, was like, Kyle still hasn't texted. So there has been a wall going up between them. And then I think the dinner, Denise just lost her shit and just went off on Kyle, as I think she eventually would have anyway. So I don't think this is out of the norm. Kyle was disrespectful at her party, bottom line.
And Kyle didn't apologize. You know, she did that sort of weird, like, cozy up to you, I'm going to drink my drink and kind of like have this weird fake conversation. But she never said, I'm sorry. She never fully apologized. She never said, you know, hey, thank you for a lovely night. I'm so sorry that, you know, that my emotions got the best of me or whatever. And so the tension kind of lingered between the two of them.
Right, it did. And one of the things, I was living this entire episode for, you know, for the things that Denise was saying during her confessionals. And this is a part towards the very end where she's like, I am effing Denise Richards. Do we think that these ladies undervalue who Denise is? Because she keeps on reminding everyone what she's done, who she's been with. She's like, I've been in every single magazine cover these ladies would have loved to be part of. Do we think that Denise continuously have to remind everyone of who she is?
I mean, I don't know that she has to keep reminding them of who she is, but I was real happy that she did last night.
Yeah.
I watched that and it made me so happy. I because I finally feel like I saw the Denise that I've wanted to see for a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, just one that's like not afraid to stand up for herself, and one that, you know, a lot of the first couple of seasons that I feel like I've gotten to see Denise on the show, she has been so, in a lot of times, laid back or hands off or just kind of like chill about things. And it was just nice to get to see her a little bit fiery and to say, look, like, not I'm better than you, but I'm better than how you're treating me. So.
I agree with you, Laura. I thought, I mean, everything she said was true. Honestly, she's been on more magazine covers than all of these women combined, you know? So it was cool to see her stand her ground. I am sensing, though, we're going to see this more of this side of her throughout this season. Like, when we learn about the scandal, like, we're going to learn she might be a little two-faced, so.
Yeah, well, she has definitely been defending herself, and she's been coming off very different than past seasons. And so many things that she's doing, I feel like Kyle keeps on nitpicking at her and taking things out. Do we think Kyle will continuously keep being the way that she is for the rest of the season? Because it's always Kyle against someone. And even if Dorit gets involved, it just lingers on to somebody else.
I think Kyle is going to stay the same throughout this season. I seriously think we hit the nail on the head last week when we said she feels indebted to LVP and she feels like she kind of has to be the villain that drives the conflict. So I don't think Kyle's attitude's going away, unfortunately, or fortunately.
I think that would show a level of, I don't know, self-awareness that maybe Kyle is not possessing this season. So yeah, I think this version of Kyle is here to stay.
Yeah. Oh gosh, please no. Please, let's switch this up. I'm so done. And this is like barely episode 5. All right, let's jump into our special segment. And Ethan, do you want to take it away?
Oh, I'll take it away, guys. So every week we have our special segment inspired by Erika Jayne's song, How Many F's Do I Give? So we are going to name 3 moments from last night's episode. And in the live chat on our panel, you guys tell me how many F's you give. 10 F's means you give a lot of F's. 5 F's means you give a moderate amount of F's. And 0 F's means you don't give a single F. So starting with the first moment, Dorit's ponytail. How many F's you guys give about Dorit's long ponytail?
10. I give 10
F's. Oh.
I do.
You loved it?
I did. I mean, I always love to see what Dorit wears and Erica. And so that ponytail, I feel like whether it's Erica or her, they both can pull it off. Nobody else can pull off a ponytail like that.
I mean, I'm gonna
Laura!
I don't know. I didn't love it.
Was it too long?
It was too long. It was too
Wasn't thick enough for you?
Here's the thing. Like, I guess, I think it felt out of place, maybe. I don't know. I think it just seemed so random. Like,
okay.
And I guess that's a lot of what we get from Dorit every once in a while is just some, like, where did that come from? Some creative genius's mind. I'm glad you were able to whip it out. But to me, it just felt a little random. I gave it 0 F's.
Yeah, I gave it 0 too. Jane? Okay,
so the whole chat agrees with you guys. Candy, oh, Doris, Blitz and Blue, they're all giving it 0s. But Maite, I agree with you. I give it 10 F's. We expect the extraness from this woman and this crew. And I've never seen anything like it, not even on the runway. And the bitch used 4 Advils for that thing. So give her some props. I think it was worth it. You know, whatever. I would never do that. But the fact that she did, I'm living for it. You have to literally like swing that thing to the side just to go.
I know.
Oh, I would have been grabbing and swinging in and grabbing someone. Like, yes.
I mean, as we saw
the Kardashians, Courtney like got a bald spot from one little regular extension. So, like, I mean, she's risking it for this fashion moment for us. She could go bald in a second. We got to give credit where it's due.
And I will say, you know, if they're in jeopardy, she could use it as a weapon.
That's true.
If needed.
We'll leave on
that. Great thinking.
All right. Next moment. Oh my God, this killed me. Okay. When Lisa Rinna was so proud that out of everything they were celebrating that night, she was the most excited that her daughters had hooked up some DM situation where they were able to order flowers. How many F's did you guys give about the fact that her daughters successfully ordered these Instagram flowers?
Zero. Zero, zero, zero. And that entire, her and her daughters just, her daughters seem so Hollywood to me in comparison to Gigi and Bella. You know, they were also up and coming models, and with Yolanda's daughters as a few seasons in the past, right, of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And so they were much more genuine. They were a lot more, I don't know, it was so different. And to see these two, I cringe. Sorry, not sorry. I don't like seeing them. So I give zero.
I gave it zero too. Yeah. Laura?
I mean, I'm going to give it like two Fs only because...
out of here.
Yeah. But here's why. Here's why. Because the flowers, are, like, I've actually ordered from that company before and they're like real expensive. Real expensive. They're like they're called the Eternity Flower because they're supposed to last a year. Yeah. And so the fact that they had a bunch of them everywhere, I was like, ooh, that could have cost a pretty penny. Like, and they ended up, I mean, if they got a good deal on it just from a DM, I'm gonna give it at least two Fs for the effort, you know?
Just for the effort.
You're right, those Eternity Flowers are bougie. I maybe like a two because they're trendy, but like I don't really give an F about the flowers. And Charlotte Tara chose in the chat was so funny. She goes one F, but 10 F for where is Harry Hamlin?
Where was Harry Hamlin? Right?
Yes. But also I have to call out from the chat because our girl Candy made a great comment that agrees with you, Maite. She said Gigi and Bella Hadid were so friendly and likable on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Lisa Rinner's daughters come off as spoiled, entitled Hollywood brats, which I wouldn't necessarily go as far because I think that we are like seeing a lot of Amelia's struggles. So I think like we are getting that vulnerable side. But my gripe about that is that I think Lisa is exploiting her daughter's struggles to evade her own.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
That's one of our next hot topics, next episode we gotta cover. Okay, last moment. Denise's accomplishments, all of her accomplishments she listed for us at the end. How many Fs did you guys give about that? We already talked a little bit. I gave, I'd say five Fs. I was like, I already knew all that stuff about Denise, but I mean, thanks for reminding us.
I mean, the only way that I would have given more Fs if I had had like, you know, visual stills of like her catalog of, you know, cause like, I think reminding, you know, Denise is a beautiful woman, but she obviously is, you know, she's a little older now and like reminding people, like, I'm sorry. I remember like Wild Things when it came out in the 90s, whatever. And like, Denise Richards was like alien level beautiful. So, and still is, but was one, it would just be, I would have given a little bit more Fs if I had been like, that's right, girl. That's right. You rock that. You'd be like, this is me, y'all. So I don't know. I think I'm going to give it like, six and a half Fs.
Yeah. I would give a lot of Fs, like over 10 Fs, because I felt like this was another iconic moment that Denise was giving us, that when she said, I don't think these bitches know. Like, it was just so funny to bring us back to like why she's on the show in the first place. This isn't her first reality show. She knows glam. She's in this world. She's literally moonlighting, as Andy calls it, on Bold and the Beautiful while she's shooting Real Housewives. Like, the bitch is great. And also, I give over 10 Fs because it gave us a lot of beautiful memes. We love a good meme moment. And there were so many memes popping up on like comments by Bravo and stuff like that of her being like, I don't think these bitches know how many magazine covers I've been on, what everyone wants to be on. And it was like all of these mock-ups of like People and Star and Us talking about her like terrible home life at the time with Charlie Sheen. So those were very funny and calm. Yeah.
I agree with you too, Jane. I give it 10 F's for everything that you said. And I agree. I would have wanted to see like a little montage of everything just to give people a little reminder. But yeah, totally living for Denise this season.
Yeah, I'm surprised the Bravo editors didn't jump on that opportunity because the memes got it like so well. And they should have showed all those tabloids because it was hilarious.
Well, thank you so much, Ethan, for that special segment. We've run out of time for news, but you can follow Jane because Jane had a lot of good stuff today to share with everyone. You can follow her on social media and ask her about the news that we have. We'll definitely be chatting more next week about that. We might just round it all up for next week. But that is all for our show today. Ethan, take it away. Do you want to let everybody know where they can find you on social media?
Sure. I'm at Ethan B. Paisley on all platforms.
Okay, Laura. Yeah. Go ahead, Laura.
Hey, I'm Laura Thomas-Son. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, everything else, Laura Thomas-Son.
And I'm Jane Johnson. You guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, all the things, Jane Johnson, Johnson, _.
Yes, and my name is Maite Carrillo. You can find me everywhere at This Is Maite. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you next week. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.